All right, Easter is the greatest feast in the Christian calendar, and for Catholics, this Easter Sunday comes at the end of 40 days of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It is also a time of renewal, and our tradition continues as we invite His Eminence, Cardinal Blaise Supich, who serves over 2.4 million Catholics in Chicago, to our show. Good evening, Cardinal Supich.
Hello, Dave. Good to be with you again.
You know, I know you have got a very busy week happening as we speak, and today is Good Friday. Tomorrow is the Easter Vigil, and of course, Easter Sunday. What are the plans on Saturday and Sunday at Holy Name Cathedral?
Well, we have, of course, the blessing of food that's at the cathedral in the morning, and then we get ready for the vigil in the evening that starts at 8 o'clock. And then the next morning, I'm going to head out to one of the parishes for a sunrise service.
Oh, nice.
And then we have the Mercy Home Mass at 9 o'clock at WGN. And then ABC will have another Mass at noon. So I'm going to be going from pillar to post, and it's going to be a great way to celebrate Easter.
I was going to say, at some point, do you get to celebrate with family, have a nice meal, do some brunch? Like, when does that happen for you?
Well, it'll happen in the afternoon, late afternoon. In fact, this year, one of my sisters is coming out with her husband, and so I'll be able to have some family here for Easter, and I'm sure we'll have a nice meal.
Nice. Wonderful. 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 There's a word we use to talk about the last few days of Lent, and that is the Triduum.
Well, the Triduum really is the beginning of the Easter feast, because Lent ends with that the close of Wednesday in Holy Week, and we celebrate usually the Mass of the Lord's Supper in the evening, but also in some dioceses they have the Chrism Mass in the morning, which we have done here earlier in the week, given the fact that the priests are needed to in their own parishes. And so then the next day we have the celebration of the Lord's Passion that can take different forms, either Stations of the Cross or the ritual that we have for Good Friday service. And then the Triduum continues with the Easter Vigil and of course, Sunday morning masses in the parishes. So it's those 3 days in which we enter into the dying and rising of Jesus.
The blessing of the Easter baskets is an old European tradition, and that's something I've been doing since I was a kid. So it's almost like a little preview to what you're about to celebrate on the Easter Vigil, and that usually happens late morning, early afternoon on Saturday.
That's right. And, you know, people are busy today coloring eggs and getting those baskets ready. One of my sisters, in fact, always sent her 4 children an Easter basket and continues to do so even when they're adults. So it's a tradition my family is very familiar with.
So hopefully when you're blessing baskets, you'll get some sausage and some other goodies.
Well, people are usually very generous in that. Yeah. But, you know, coloring those Easter eggs is something the kids enjoy very much.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. You know, I hope to see, and I know, you know, we've just been through, you know, this pandemic and trying to get back to some normal and being in church full time and so forth. But I want to see, you know, myself, young families attend all the activities this weekend, specifically those who, you know, make the financial commitment to send their children to Catholic school and CCD, which is the religious education program. And if you're making that commitment as a family to send your kid to Catholic school, that experience always should start on Sunday. Am I right?
That's right. I think that by drawing a community together of people who have children, of course, in the religious, but also older people who don't have children anymore, there is that real support within a community across generations that's so important in raising children.
I'm going to pivot a little bit to a couple other subjects here. Renew My Church. You know, many of today's challenges in the Chicago Catholic Church, you know, require looking and working beyond your own church. And the only way to make that sustainable and make that change in each community is to work together. And that's why you established this Renew My Church and created these groupings throughout the Archdiocese.
That's right. What we did over these last 5 years is to bring people together in groupings and just ask them the question, how do you see your parish life opening itself up to looking for ways in which the gospel can be proclaimed and which the faith of people can be renewed? And to do it with the limited resources and the challenges we have, being honest about all of that. Many times parishioners were not informed of either the financial state or the personnel state of our parishes. And we wanted to be honest with them to come together. We depended on the good sense and the wisdom of people to be able to help us figure all that out.
There's a generation of churchgoers, and I've realized this, you know, I chaired my pastoral council for about 7 years. I'm on the school board. I'm on the finance council. So I'm pretty ingrained in everything. And it's so wild to me because younger generations think that the school financially is what keeps the church going. And in 90% of the cases, it is the other way around.
That's right. It's a matter of making sure that people, first of all, are welcomed and feel included. But also that we challenge them to take responsibility for the life of the parish.
Absolutely. A couple of weeks ago, a group of about 70 cardinals, bishops, theologians gathered in Chicago a few weeks back for conversations focused on how the U.S. Catholic Church can better support the agenda of the Pope. It was probably good to get everyone together and working together and trying to be on the same page.
Well, yes, you know, this is a project that I've been in support of because I want to make sure that bishops and theologians talk to each other. We want to make sure that those who are responsible for passing on the faith in terms of the pastoral life and teaching office, like bishops, are informed as well by those who are doing real research in these areas. So that was an opportunity for us to do that, but also to take up the agenda of how the Holy Father is asking the church to move forward in this time. You know, we're living in a very unique moment with this papacy. It's a moment in which the Pope is calling us to have a deeper understanding of ourselves as all being missionary disciples, in which we build stronger communities and also inspire witness. In many ways, what the Pope is doing is in line with our aspirations with Renew My Church.
So let me ask you a question. I've always been curious. Pope Benedict is retired. Does Pope Benedict and Pope Francis talk? Do they meet? Do they, you know, consort on things at all? Or how does that work?
Well, in fact, just on Holy Thursday this past week, there was a news release that Pope Francis went over to see Pope Benedict to wish him a happy Easter. But I'm sure it's an opportunity for them to talk about things. There's a great affection between the two of them. And it's, I think, a really warm relationship that I know that Pope Francis benefits from.
That's very cool. As Russia's war on Ukraine rages, Pope Francis has called for weapons to be laid down for an Easter truce. And I, as well as everybody else, wish as a nation we could be doing more. But I know Catholic Charities has a hand in helping refugees with food, clothing, shelter. Talk to us a little bit about Catholic Charities.
Well, Catholic Charities, of course, even before this war started, was very much involved in helping with the resettlement of Afghan refugees. We've been working with the Muslim community and others here. And now we have nearly 40 children from Ukraine who are in Chicago going to St. Nicholas. I was at a fundraiser the other night for them over at St. Nicholas Cathedral. And then Catholic Charities, of course, is always prepared to welcome those who are coming here. But also we're working with Catholic Charities in Ukraine. The collection that we took up recently will be sent to them to assist them, especially as they deal with refugees who are leaving and people who just need basic things to live on, food, shelter, clothing. I think that the more that we can do to be in solidarity with them and help them, I think that we're really going to make a difference if we make those sacrifices.
Well, and people are looking at how they can help, and donations are a big deal, but they don't know where a safe place is to donate to make sure it gets to Ukraine. And absolutely go to Catholic Charities, and you can donate
right there.
We're talking to Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago, and in this time of continued violence in our city and the devastation of Ukraine, His Eminence will share his Easter message of peace right after a look at your evening commute. All right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. So Easter is Sunday morning, and I invite Cardinal Supich in advance of the special day to share his message of peace and hope for the season and throughout the year. Cardinal Supich.
Well, thank you, Dave. You know, it's quite remarkable that none of the stories of the resurrection of Jesus actually recount his coming out of the tomb or how he was raised by God from the dead. But we do have stories about what happened to his disciples. Easter created in them a sense of belonging and the awareness that instead of living for themselves, they were being called to a mission that would be nothing less than changing the course of history. This is a story that we need today. Today, people question the meaning and the purpose of life and their identity as human beings. They live with a feeling of alienation, being disconnected from others, a community, or past traditions. And they feel abandoned in a world of hostile challenges and aimless pursuits. Easter offers us an antidote to these feelings of malaise. It provides a resounding answer to the question about the meaning and purpose of our life by drawing us out of our isolation and inviting us to live with the story of God's love for us, a love that doesn't know any bounds. The message of Easter is simply this: even though we kill the Son of God, God has not abandoned us. On the contrary, God raised up Jesus so that he could come back from the dead to be with us, reminding us that we too are God's sons and daughters. God never abandons us, and we should never abandon one another. Easter is our homecoming to be God's family. And so as we celebrate Christ coming back from the dead, there is a special joy in being able to return to our parish communities, particularly after the two-year celebration with the pandemic. I urge all of you to enjoy this Easter by coming together. I invite you to look upon this Easter as a homecoming after being separated by the pandemic. Let Easter be a new opportunity to share with your fellow parishioners the experience of having a common purpose, identity, and a call to leave behind fear and death and make a difference in the world. We need to come together to encounter Christ anew and to rediscover who we are as an Easter people. And we have to do this together. As the disciples of Christ who were raised, when Christ was raised from the dead, he raised them out of fear and isolation. Our parishes depend on each one of us to make the personal commitment to form that community of disciples that acts as the Pope calls it, a field hospital for one another in the world. So I urge you to return to your parish for in-person worship beginning this season of Easter. Think of it as a homecoming in which we gather to celebrate Christ rising from the dead because we too have been risen from the dead. Happy Easter to all.
Karnablej Supić, Archbishop of Chicago. Please be well. Please pray for the people of Chicago, Ukraine. Happy Easter, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Happy Easter to all.
Thank you so much.